Empower Radio presents The Butterfly Moment. It's the classic quantum leap in personal growth. Now here are your hosts for The Butterfly Moment, John Schalter and Carrie Hall on Empower Radio.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hi.
We're at 12:30 here. This is Carrie and John at The Butterfly Moment.
Hi.
Hi. Carrie and I are life coaches. You can reach us on our website, butterflylifecoach.com. That's butterflylifecoach.com. We've got our phone numbers and all our contact information there. Or you can contact us at the Empower2R radio site. Empowerradio.com. Empowerradio.com. Well, Carrie, we are here in Michigan in March on one of the most beautiful days I've seen in a long time.
Absolutely beautiful, John.
And this is going to be our show is dedicated today to children. And I've got the opportunity to interview someone very special today. And it's going to be Carrie with her work with children, particularly orphans, in Kenya, Africa. It's a project that I've been involved in with Carrie. It's a really a labor of love as the Butterfly Foundation. We don't have kids of our own, so we kind of adopted the world, I guess. Before we start, didn't we have fun doing those readings at Bob Berg's?
Yes. John was a guest reader at a grade school and the other week, and he was reading to the kids, and we were having a great time.
I felt like George Bush before 9/11 reading to the kids. They were so wonderful, and you know, one of the kids came up and he held the book, and they were just like raising their hand and answering questions and that type
of thing.
Very
interactive.
Yeah, sure. So, Carrie, you have a foundation, international foundation of your own called Project Giving Back, correct?
Right. Project Giving Back, BACK. We started it with the idea of building a classroom in Kenya. And that's how the back came about. But we ended up building a school.
Mm. Why Africa? How did that all happen?
Well, what happened was, and John knows this because he was with me, about 10 years ago, we journeyed to Kenya, and we were visiting my college roommate who was living and working at a nature conservancy there. And to say that it really blew our mind would probably be accurate. Mm-hmm. I don't think John and I have ever been in a, well, we have been in a third world country before, but just the beauty of Africa, the amazing spirit that the people have there, and to see the need that they have, and it's just astounding. And yet they are so happy, and they are so grateful, and they have such amazing attitudes that it just completely blows your mind.
What I found interesting, I used to teach freshman high school before getting into law, and I loved it. Is the kids in the classrooms and how they all had uniforms and how they loved it.
Right. The kids in Kenya love their uniforms. It really sets them apart, which is really cool.
Yeah. And they love to sing. Every time I would go in one of the classrooms, whatever, they would always break out in some sort of song from Mr. Schalter.
Right. Know, well, great. Yeah, I think that, John, you're speaking about Sagara Mission, too, but we're kind of digressing. Mm-hmm. We're talking about 10 years ago, and then John and I went back 2 years ago just to see how the school was doing, and we actually held a series of camera workshops, which was really fun, just to see the kids at the Katege School, which is the name of the school that we helped to build, the Katege Primary School. Mm-hmm. And if people say, where is it? Well, let me try to describe it. It's between Nairobi and Mombasa, which is really a long stretch. To narrow that down, it's outside of Voi, V-O-I, and it's in Maungo, and it's at the base of the Kasigao Mountain. And there are five schools at the base of the Kasigao Mountain, and one of them is the Katege Primary School that we helped actually rebuild, I guess you could say, even more than refurbish.
And one thing for sure, if you've not driven the roads of Kenya, the highways outside of Kenya, you haven't lived.
Especially the Mombasa Highway. That's pretty difficult.
It's like a carnival ride. It really is. I mean, it was, and they drive English, like on the opposite side of the road. So I was sitting, we had a driver, great guy.
Our friend Akano.
Yeah. And so I was sitting on what usually would be the driver's seat. So it was quite exciting.
John had an experience. Anyway, 10 years ago, we went there. We saw the need. I came home. It was a birthday. Everyone said, what can we do, Carrie? What can we do for your birthday? We're going to have a big party. And it just seemed to me so decadent and so bizarre after what we had just seen and the need that we had witnessed. And I'm not a person who can ask people for something, but because my friends were so enthusiastic about giving me a birthday party, it just came up. I said, well, could we call it Project Giving Back? And could we perhaps, in lieu of gifts and things like that, could we, you know, ask possibly for donations and have silent auction items, et cetera, and help these kids, you know, build a classroom. And as I said before, we exceeded our expectations. And the first night, we raised over $7,000. And then we were on a roll. And because of that, so many other people wanted to get on the bandwagon, like the BBC, different other volunteers, private donors, and schools actually got involved. And as I said, we were able to rebuild the whole school.
Which is really great. Because it lets you know that if you have an idea, sometimes and oftentimes it's catchy. That we got these matching funds, we had, you know, kind of incremental giving, and all of a sudden people were coming on board and we had a school built.
I know. It was just so magical. I mean, and just so exciting. That we knew, you know, we could see where the dollars were going and that they were being spent to actually make life better for these children. And it was just so touching because for people to donate and people to be enthusiastic about children halfway across the world who they'd never met, it just speaks a lot, I think, about the Kenyan spirit and the Kenyan heart and these children who are so deserving and so thankful. Yeah. And when John and I went back 2 years ago to see how the school was doing and, you know, physically, we were approached by a couple of students who had mentioned that they wanted to go on a class trip. Now, this is just truly astounding because these are kids who never go anywhere, who never do anything, who never get out of their village. And they had a very progressive headmaster. And for him to propose something like that, of course, we had to raise money again. And we did. And we were able to send 44 kids and I think 9 adults on a class trip, which, believe me, I can't express how exciting that was for these kids. They got a bus and they strapped mattresses on the sides of the bus, on the top of the bus. And so they were able to actually sleep in churches along the way. 9 adults went with these kids, and they got to go to the capital of Kenya, which is Nairobi, and they also got to go to Lake Nakuru and see some incredible natural beauty. And of course, nothing ever goes as planned in Kenya, and they had a lot of mishaps and road washouts along the way. But to get the letters, John, from these children thanking us and thanking our donors for making this possible for them, they said they felt like they were in a dream. and so many other beautiful things.
And some of our friends would call back with tears in their eyes, never seen that kind of gratitude.
Well, I have seen that kind of gratitude and that kind of penmanship and that kind of just true thanks for, you know, for the ability to actually go on this trip to kind of make a dream come true.
Yeah, we still got some of their artwork.
Yes, and they were very excited about the sweets that they got on the bus and also the water. Mm. But it was truly amazing, John, when we went back 2 years ago and we did the camera workshops. And
yeah, tell us a little bit about the camera workshops, because, you know, last time we were...
Well, actually, we had cameras with us. We had about 16 digital cameras,
right.
And we actually had a printer, and our driver, Okeno, was able to hook the printer up in the car. What are you laughing about, John?
No, myself, I'm not really tech savvy, and yeah, I can work a camera and that type of thing, but these kids, I don't know where they're getting their information, because... they were acting like, you know, it was no big deal, that they've been doing this all their life. And I'm trying to figure out how it works.
Different camera settings and things like that.
How you download it. But not only would they work the camera, they were back into these rustic areas posing. You know, it was like a fashion shoot. And I'm thinking to myself,
well, they were so excited to have pictures of themselves and pictures of them with their friends, right, which was so nice.
It's so nice because you can just turn the camera and they can look at it and inspect it. And if it's not good, they take another one of it. So
it was almost intuitive. I mean, the way the kids gravitated towards the cameras and actually kind of, you know, just knew how to work different settings and things like that. Our only big disappointment was that we couldn't leave the cameras with them, unfortunately, or fortunately, because we actually had other stops along the way. One of the places we went to was Sagara Mission, which is the most amazing place, kind of in the middle of nowhere. And it is an orphanage. And it is also a school, and it's also an infirmary. And at certain places in Africa, or Kenya, I should say, there is one doctor for every 10,000 people. So Sagara Mission, S-E-G-E-R-A, does just astounding work.
Well, I wanted to mention also, if you go on butterflylifecoach.com, you can see a picture of our kids at the school there. Standing in front of
That's great. You know, that's right.
And take a look at it. We've only got a couple minutes left, but we had a very interesting experience with a little girl last time we were in Africa, and how far she walked to go to school.
Oh yes, this was Naomi and Naomi and oh my gosh, I'm trying to think. I say her name all the time. Two little girls wanted us to come to visit their home at Sagara Mission. And so we were able to take the truck that Sagara Mission has, and we were able to go to their little huts.
Mud hut.
Yes. And Naomi and Grace, actually. And along the way, women came up to us and they said that another woman was having a baby. I would say at the side of the road, but it was not a road.
Right,
it was just a bush, the bush, I guess. So we were able to hop in the back of the truck, get the woman having the baby, and take her back to the infirmary at Sagara Mission, and then continue along to visit Grace and Naomi's home, which was a mud hut. And
we got snacks. You know, they fed us there. And
well, tea is very, very popular. And the generosity of Kenyans is just amazing, because they will give you their last tablespoon of sugar for your tea. And
so I had an opportunity on my cell phone to do a video interview of Naomi. And it turns out that this trip to her village was 10 miles.
So they walk 10 miles to school and 10 miles back to school every day.
In other words, it's almost the length of a marathon every day just to go to school. And what was very compelling about that is that we were out to her house at about 3:00. And I think at 4:30, class ends. And she wanted to go back.
Yeah, they wanted to travel back with us to Sagara Mission in the vehicle, knowing that they would have to walk back home. And John asked them, when they leave their home very early in the morning, if they are afraid. And they said, yes, we are afraid.
We see snakes.
We see lions.
We see lions. We see hyenas.
And yet these are kids who arrive at school early. They're so thankful. They're so happy. They're singing. They get down to their books immediately. They wait for the other kids to come in. And it's just so heartening for children who want to learn, who try so hard to learn, who brave adversity to learn.
Well, I think that it shows and it speaks volumes about happiness. And how we often, I know it sounds cliched, but don't really appreciate the things that we really do have.
So often we take things for granted. I know that, you know, just traveling throughout Kenya, we would see the children in their uniforms, and every kind of village has a different color. And this, and the kids would be running to school, and they wouldn't have any shoes on, but they'd have their uniform. Because if you could afford your uniform, you couldn't afford your shoes. But to have it, to go to school, you have to have a uniform.
Carrie, if someone wanted to donate or participate or volunteer or have a garage sale, as we've done several times, what should they do?
Well, of course, you could go on Segera Mission, S-E-G-E-R-A, Segera Mission, and then you could also look up Kids for Kenya and also African Promise. Charles Coleman is the head of Africa Promise. He's a young man who had a gap year in Kenya when he was about 18 or 19, and he's followed this and made it his life's work, and he's done so many wonderful things for the people in the in that area that they actually helped build a house. So that would be Charles Coleman, African Promise.
And they could also contact Carrie Hall.
That's right.
Shelter on our website, and we could get you involved either as a donor to the party that we have or the garage sale, and you too can get a letter from one of these beautiful kids.
Thank you.
Have a great week, folks.